Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
The Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America on IMSA Radio. On IMSA Radio.
The beauty of Southern California and the beauty of the iconic WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, a racetrack that every driver in the world wants to drive on. And for drivers and competitors of the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America, it's time for race number two from this storied facility. Race number two of the weekend. It's round two of the season for the 2024 Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America Series. 40 Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evos lined up in pit lane, ready to attack 2.23 miles and 11 turns here at Laguna Seca. What a storied facility this is. Just look at the names of the corners. Andretti Hairpin, the Ray Hall Straight, and great passing opportunities that are here. Down in turn two, heavy braking can get the job done there. Climb the hill up to turn six. That leads you up to the corkscrew, the infamous corner here at Laguna, and then rushing down the hill five stories down to turn 11. You can get the job done there, and it's your last opportunity before you get to the start-finish line here at Laguna to complete the lap. Before we get to race number two, let's look at race number one. We'll take you back there and go to the race start. Gianno Torino up front in the 88, and it doesn't take long for the battles to start. Nico Jamin passed by Torino in that bright orange number 88. Jamin slips all the way back a little bit. Patrick Liddy with a problem and a spin, drops the wheel coming out of six. Around he goes, just in front of Andy Lee. He dodges the bullet there. Kiko Porter takes the lead for Ansa Motorsports on the pit cycle. 48, Michael Staub is going to come home with a win in LB Cup. Big day for him. Going back, looking at AM, the 28, Cole Kleck wins in AM for Alliance Racing. Slade Stewart, Andy Lee take their first win in Pro-Am. Big-time celebrations for that Flying Lizard Motorsport duo. And Kiko Porto wins in Pro. He and his teammate Nico Jamin celebrate the victory there, and that will catapult them into the championship lead in the pro category. Welcome in, everyone. Brian Till along with Jeremy Shaw. We'll have all the action for you today. And Jeremy, there was plenty of action yesterday.
There certainly was, yeah. Probably a few more incidents than we would have liked, but there was some tremendous racing in there as well. All sorts of great storylines. 40 cars, as you say. Should be 41. Unfortunately, Ken Dobson, Alan Fudge, who should have been making his debut this weekend, won't be because they had a problem on Friday during a practice session. So 40 cars. We've got 8 in Pro Class, 11 in Pro Am, 11 in Am also, and LB Cup. There's 10 competitors, all running exactly the same Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo 2. 620 horsepower. It's just the drivers that make the difference in terms of the different classes. And that's basically based on experience. We've got, of those four classes then, we have, let's just look at the poles because it's such a big grid. We don't have time to go through everybody. But on a pole in LB Cup, for the first time, his first season of racing, is Nick Grote in car number 57 for One Motorsports. He will start in the 25th position. The AM and the Pro-AM class leaders in qualifying actually start together on the grid. The Pro-AM qualifier is Jerome Blekemolen, a massively experienced Dutchman for Flying Lizard Motorsports in car number 54. He will start 8th, and he is also the leader in the Pro-AM class along with his teammate Tim Pappas. The AM class leader in qualifying yesterday is Ken Madsen for Ansa Motorsports, and he did a brilliant job in that number 24 car that he shares with Ronaldo Patou to start in 7th position, one place ahead of Jerome Blekemolen, so a big feather in Ken Madsen's cap. But on the pole position overall, again, as he was when he qualified the car at Sebring in the first round of the championship, is Kiko Porto, the brilliant young Brazilian from Recife. And he drives for Ansa Motorsports in car number 4. He will start that championship leading car on the pole position.
And Jeremy, don't forget, you do get 1 point for pole. So at season's end, these pole positions, they're going to be important in the championship. You look at the Lamborghinis climbing the hill to the corkscrew, and in the background you can see not a cloud in the sky. Absolutely perfect weather. Nice cool 55 this morning. Very slight breeze, and this is the weather you want to go racing in. These Hankook tires, they like this new surface. They like this cool weather. And I'm looking at a very consistent run throughout if it stays long periods of green. I say if. We didn't have that yesterday, did we?
No, I wishful thinking perhaps with this many cars and this sort of disparity in terms of experience amongst the drivers. But hey, let's think positive, right? And it's a good bit cooler today, though, than yesterday's, when yesterday's race was taking place. So it's going to be interesting to see how quickly these tires come up to temperature.
Front row coming on to the straightaway, getting ready for the start here. See the Ansem Motorsports Lamborghini, screen right, drivers left, lined up, waiting to go, looking for the green. Big jump there by Porto as he takes off. Patrick Liddy outside, slides in behind, and that's going to be a problem. That's a bigger problem, a crash before we ever got to the line. The problem for Liddy is he changed columns before he got to the start-finish line. And then there's that problem back in the back of the pack where I saw four cars with an issue. And wow, Porto off, going through turn two, gets it back gathered up. But they're going to have to take a look at this start, and we're going to have to look at this problem on the front straightaway and see if it can be removed and if the debris is going to be an issue. Will we have to go yellow early?
Yeah, that was a shame there. Boy, all sorts of things to talk about there. And neither of them got those cars going again, so maybe we will have to go full force caution. I thought they should be able to restart. These cars do have onboard starters, but to quite a bit of damage to the left front of Ofir Liebe's car. That's the LB Cup contender. He qualified second in the class behind Nick Grote. And I think it was the car that was directly ahead of him on the grid, the number 15, which would be Cam Aliabadi. I think those are the two that made contact there before the start. And the full course caution is out. We'll have to have a look at that restart. As a matter of procedure, race control always reviews the start in every single race. And I think they might have quite a few things to look at this time around.
Yeah, the start is under review. And remember, in IMSA competition, in all of the series that run here, you must remain in column formation until you cross the line. So they're going to look at that. They're also going to look at the incident. This is the shot from the back of the field. Porto takes off from the pole position, and there's the contact right there, really initiated by Liebe, I think. Field kind of stacks up. He gets into the car in front, and then just cars trying to dodge. The 46 gets involved, the green and white Lamborghini. And this is down into turn two, and that's Porto off on the outside. Does a great job of saving it and not making contact as he comes back onto the racetrack, narrowly missing the 77 of Jake Walker.
Yeah, that's right. So all sorts of things to talk about there, as you say. As you suggest, Ofir Liebe clearly got into the back, and I think of Cam Aliabadi's car, and Tom Capizzi unfortunately caught up in that. Some great avoidance manoeuvres there, farther back in the pack, down towards the tail end of the field. Really impressive driving by a whole bunch of people back there, but really unfortunate for these two here that are obviously out on the spot, and also the number 46 car, Tom Capizzi. He and John Capestro Di Betz are always fast, and they had a good strong run yesterday as well in that Pro-Am class.
50 on pit lane with damage as well. Let's take a look at the start as they come to the start stand. Remember, you must stay in column formation. Pay attention to the 77, the bright green car to screen left. You'll see Porto take off in his red and black Lamborghini. And then when they get up to the, before they get to the line, watch the green Lamborghini slot in. You can look up to the head of the field and you can see that car move from right to left. And you see the start finish line. They're just now there. So the officials will take a look at that and see if that is an issue. But they've got bigger problems back there with Ofir Liebe in the 15.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Patrick Liddy Motsov, yeah, he's no question about it. He's moved across there, which he should know. He's not supposed to do. He's done enough of these races over the past few years, Patrick. This is his 41st start, for goodness sake. He started yesterday from the pole position, so he was kind of used to starting on the inside line. In fact, the last two times he's raced here, he's been on the pole position, also in 2022 as well. Yesterday, it all went wrong for him at the first corner when he was involved in a little incident with Danny Formal. It looked like Danny Formal had braked too late yesterday into turn one, but in actual fact, he got a bit of a bump from Patrick Liddy, who was trying to defend his position. I spoke yesterday to Danny Formal. He said that Patrick came up to him afterwards and apologised for that, but of course it was Patrick that came off worse in the end of the day. But this time around, yeah, I mean, it was a brilliant pass there by Patrick Liddy to get the lead back from Kiko Porto at turn one. But I think the race control is going to be looking at that start. He might have a problem with that. And have a look at it one more time as they come out of the hairpin to get ready for the start, Brian.
Patrick Liddy once again in that bright green, number 77, screen left. Porto with the big jump off the line, and then Liddy just drops in behind. And I think that one might be an easy call for race control.
Yeah, afraid so. It's number 27 car, actually, of Patrick Liddy. The first round of the season, he shared that number 27 car for Forte Racing, powered by US Racetronics, with Blake McDonald. Blake, this weekend, however, is committed to another race series elsewhere, actually, in I think it's in Utah. So unable to be here this weekend, but he graciously allowed Patrick to drive solo in that number 27 car this weekend, and did a great job yesterday in qualifying, qualified on pole position. Unfortunately, later on had a spin during the race, dropped him to the back, but he's looking to make amends, and he took the lead with a really bold move down the inside. And what a tank slapper that was from Kiko Porto coming off turn two on that opening lap. Did a great job to get that number four car back under control, but did lose a couple of positions.
I said the 77 of Patrick Liddy, actually the bright green 72, so I got that wrong number there. Apologies for that. Everybody looking on, including the puppies in the motorhome on the hill, laying in the sun. What a great thing to do here in this beautiful Southern California atmosphere. No better place to do it than WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Under full course caution, happened at the start, trying to get the front straightaway cleaned up so we can go back to green. And I think we've got most of the cars removed from the front straightaway. The 46, Tom Capizzi also with some damage there in that start line incident. Trying to limp back around. They'll try to effect repairs there.
Yeah, just looking down the other classes, Jeroen Blekemolen still leads in Pro-Am, and he managed to get past the Am pole sitter, Ken Madsen, at the start. So they're still running in 7th and 8th, number 54 car of Blekemolen ahead of Madsen in car number 24. The LB Cup leader remains Nick Grote in car number 57 for One Motorsports. That's a good look at the green and silver Flying Lizard Motorsports car number 54 of Jeroen Blekemolen, a hugely experienced Dutchman, been around this board a long time, had a lot of success in all sorts of different cars, and he's always a great addition to any championship because he's a really good guy. And he and Tim Pappas, they've been driving together now for several years and had success again in all sorts of different categories, so good to see him back here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
You know, it's unfortunate. You look at the driver lineups, Jeremy, once again, in Lamborghini Super Trofeo. Pro-Am is the only category where you must have two drivers, obviously a Pro and an Am. The other three classes, you can go solo or you can have a co-driver with you. But when you look at a lot of these teams, they have their faster driver in today at the start. They had their faster driver in at the finish yesterday. Obviously, Jeroen Blekemolen, you went through his resume. He's the quicker of the two. Obviously, Tim Papp is a very experienced driver as well, very quick. But you want to have as much green time as you can, obviously, when you've got your hired gun in the car. And this full course caution that happened with that start melee is really kind of putting a damper on that strategy.
Yeah, that's very true, Brian. And it's interesting that of those Pro-Am teams, of which there's plenty coming into this race with 11 Pro-Am contenders, probably about half of them yesterday started their faster driver, including Andy Lee, who went on to win the class along with Slade Stewart. Brilliant run for them in the Sparkle Farts bright pink unicorn entry car number 14. Brilliant job by both of those two yesterday. Whereas others, like Jeroen Blekemolen and Tim Pappas, they elected to go the other way around and have Jeroen qualifying the car today. Same the next few positions down the order in Pro-Am. Joel Miller started number 66 car that AJ Musk started yesterday. Nico Rieger at the wheel number 21 car today in the Pro-Am class. It was Shane Chandrasoma who started that car yesterday. So all the way up and down there, even Stevens are, five started yesterday, or five pros started yesterday and six today, or the other way around, whichever it is. But yeah, fascinating to see how they elect to do that. It's totally down to the teams themselves to decide who wants to take the start in which of the races.
Interesting. We talk about the four different classes. There's Pro, Pro-Am, Am, and LB Cup. You can tell the different classes because of the windscreen of the car. Upper right for the driver, there is a triangle on the front windscreen. Pro is orange. Pro-Am is yellow. Am is green. LB Cup is blue. And you'll have the same colors in what I call a chiclet on the rear bumper of the car as well. So if you're following a car in front of you, you know what class it's in. Do I press hard on this competitor because I need to get by him for class result? Or do I think about it because they're not in my class and I don't want to risk getting involved in a battle that doesn't really matter for my championship? Helps the fans, helps the drivers as well. And you can see those triangles on the windscreen as the cars come towards you up and over the hills here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Same car, same performance in all the classes. The only thing that's different is the driver who sits on board. Long cleanup here. Flatbeds involved in getting these cars out of the way on the front straightaway. Also a pit stop, Jeremy, and Lamborghini Super Trofeo. It's required. Comes about the halfway point. 50-minute race, so 20 minutes in to 30 minutes in is when that pit window opens, and you've got the opportunity to come in. We always talk, too, about different length pit stops for the two-driver format versus the single-driver format.
Yeah, that's right. In Pro-Am, it's a nice level playing field because they're all two-driver cars. For a two-driver car, the minimum pit stop time is 84 seconds. For a single-driver car, however, the minimum pit stop time, and that time is taken from when they enter pit lane to when they exit pit lane. So that's plenty of time to just come into the pits, stop, make your driver change if you need to do so, and then have a bit of a breather. The teams are not allowed to do anything else to the car other than change the drivers, or they can check the tire pressures, I believe, but that's about it. They can't bleed the tire pressures, and then they're off again. But for the single driver cars, the minimum pit stop time is 87 seconds, so a 3-second discrepancy. The reason for that, well, if a driver's driving the race solo, he's already done half of the race, so he knows exactly what the track conditions are like, how the car is handling in the ambient conditions as they are right now. Whereas somebody getting into the car halfway through the race, it's going to take him several corners to figure out exactly how the car was in terms of its balance compared to the last time he drove the car. And I think that 3-second balance works out really, really well, unless you're a single driver car and you lose out during the pit stop. But that's your choice. If you want to drive solo, that's up to you. You're going to have a 3-second deficit to make up against the teams that are running with two drivers. And last year for Ryan Norman, that was a problem because he led several races and then came in for the pit stops, and his pit stop was 3 seconds longer than some of his rivals in that pro category, and he often found himself leapfrogged and then unable to make up the deficit again. So this year he's got smart, he's got a co-driver, and not only has he got any old co-driver, it's Danny Formal, who has won this championship in each of the last 2 years with a different co-driver, with Kyle Marcelli. In that car number one, that's why it carries car number one. And Ryan Norman then is running with Danny Formal. Yesterday they had a good, strong run. They finished in second position. But today, Ryan Norman qualified way, way back in the pack. I think he was 13th on the grid in car number one. So he's got a lot of ground to make up. He has made up a couple of positions, runs 11th at the moment. But a lot of work to do for Ryan Norman and Danny Formal.
Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America under full course caution here in the early goings of race number 4 of the season, round number 2 of the weekend here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, as the 15 now on a flatbed being moved out of the way, and hopefully we can get back to green flag action here. It all started at the drop of the green flag, and start has been under review not only for the incident but also for the alignment at the start. You'll never hear a penalty announced until we go back to green, so we're going to have to wait until we get to the restart before we determine if and what penalties may be assessed. But we were just talking about Danny Formal, and really this championship, Jeremy, and I think the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America Championship has grown so much, not just in car count, but in stature over the last 5 or 6 years. It's gotten to the point now where winning the Pro Championship here means something. It means something on your resume. It means something to the other teams in the IMSA paddock. In fact, Danny Formal qualified on the pole in his WTR Andretti Lamborghini for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race in the GTD category, which will take place later this afternoon. When you perform here in Lamborghini Super Trofeo, it means something, and I think that's why we're seeing drivers flock to this series.
No question. I mean, this championship started 10 years ago, and initially it was really just for gentlemen drivers, people out there wanting a bit of fun with a very expensive toy. But now it's a real route into the sport for young drivers as well. It was very rare that you see young drivers who with career aspirations who are running Lamborghini Super Trofeo. But under Chris Ward's stewardship over the last, well, the whole of the time, it's really grown. And now there's a whole bunch of youngsters in these races looking to begin a career in the sport. And amongst them, yesterday's AM winners, Al Morey and Cole Kleck, two teenagers, for goodness sake, who are very much career-minded. And they see this as a great opportunity to make their presence felt. They're performing here in front of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship teams and the Michelin Pilot Challenge as well. And it's a good way to get their names well known. As you said, Danny Formal is a perfect example. He was a standout in the supercart ranks in karting for many, many years. It couldn't get a break in cars. Finally, about 5 years ago, he got one from Alan Nadal at Ansa Motorsports. It's running the car here now for Kiko Porto and Nico Jimin that is running currently in the third position. And without that opportunity, Danny Formal probably wouldn't be driving at all. But he's parlayed that into a ride with WTR Andretti in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And as you say, yesterday scored his first pole position. A really cool story.
With the victory yesterday, Kiko Porto, Nico Jimin moved to the top of the pro category. Lights out on the Lamborghini Huracan safety car. We will go green this time by in just over 3 minutes to the opening of the pit window. See that beautiful gray Lamborghini Huracan getting out of the way. Drivers taking this last opportunity to get a little temperature, get those hand-cooked tires cleaned off. The restart zone, the acceleration zone for the leader actually starts about the turn-in for this final corner, turn 11. Whenever they want to go from here on out, they can pull the trigger and go. 72 up front right now. Patrick Liddy, he's on the gas, leads the field onto the front straightaway. And once we go past the line, we should find out if there are going to be any penalties assessed for the start. We understand there's some passes under yellow that are under review. And the 45 around in turn 11.
Yeah, that's Rob Walker, one of the AM contenders. He's been quick this weekend, but things just haven't gone his way, it seems, so far. He's had all sorts of bad luck, but he didn't finish yesterday's race, and he's going to hopefully get it going again. Now looks like he got a bump from behind, I think, going into that final corner before even the restart, which is very frustrating. Yeah, who's that? 90, I think that was Sam Shee, actually, in car number 98.
Absolutely, it was.
He's absolutely a rookie in this sport. He was supposed to be running in the LB Cup class when he began his racing career, quite literally at Sebring for the first two rounds of the championship. He'd never driven a single motor race before, but he was so fast that he was already bumped up into the AM category. Well, unfortunately, we see there why that lack of experience really showed right there as he tried to get a bit too brave on the restart.
Well, the penalties are now in. Patrick Liddy in the 72 and also the 88 of Ernie Francis. He's going to get a penalty for start violations as well. Was pretty certain that Liddy was going to have that delivered to him, and he has. I didn't see Ernie Francis step out of line. I was too focused on the 72, but obviously the officials saw it, and so those penalties will be handed down.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, certainly, for Ernie Francis. I didn't see what that violation was either. Patrick Liddy is quite clear. So he's out front now, but won't be out front for much longer. And the reason the the chief steward didn't make those penalties known until after the restart, was you're not allowed to make a penalty stop under caution in any case, so there's no point in telling anybody until the race actually goes green. So he'll be back into the pits shortly to serve that penalty in car number 72 for Forte Racing.
Good battles here, that beautiful red, white, and blue star-spangled livery. Kevin Madsen in the 24 leads the AM category as he rushes up the hill towards turn six. The battle just behind him, though, Nico Rieger in that beautiful gold 21. Tyler Hoffman in there in the 9 as well. They're fighting in Pro-Am. Madsen is in front of them in the AM category. And this goes back to you need to know who you're racing with. But for Madsen, he wants to keep those two cars behind him because Anthony McIntosh in the 69, second in the AM category, is the third car back. He wants to keep as many cars between himself and his nearest competitor, Madsen does, as he can.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened to Ken Madsen at the restart there, because he all of a sudden he lost about five positions. So he looks like he's going to lose another one here to Tyler Hoffman as well, as he goes around the outside there and gets a good run off turn 11 as they head toward turn 2 and the Mario Andretti hairpin.
Problem up at the corkscrew as this battle continues. And once again, you need to know who you're racing with, understand who you're racing with. And for Kevin Madsen, the two cars that are beside him to his right in that red, white, and blue livery, they're not in his class, so letting them go isn't a problem as far as positions go on the racetrack, but it does bring McIntosh up to the rear wing, and it must have been the 11 that had the issue up at the corkscrew, and I'm thinking, looking at where that smoke's coming from, the left rear, perhaps contact there was the issue up at the corkscrew for the 11.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Race control is going to be keeping busy in this race, aren't they? Patrick Lee stays out there, has not yet served his penalty. He's got three laps to do so before he's going to get another penalty. So he might well be in. If he's not in this time, he has to come in next time around. Well, he's not coming in this time. Okay, so he's clearly trying to argue his case. The pit window is open in any case. So for now, we see car number four of Kiko Porto coming into bits, and his teammate Loris Cabarru as well, who will hand over the car to young Bryson Morris, another youngster who's looking to make a career for himself, as is a Frenchman indeed.
More penalties being handed down in Lamborghini Super Trofeo here, race number 2, WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca. Car 98, penalty for incident responsibility with the 45 on the restart. Thought that would be happening, and we were just talking about it. Patrick Liddy, the leader right now on the racetrack, has a penalty he needs to serve, and I don't really see how that Forte Racing team can argue that one. It was pretty visible, I think, to everyone what the penalty was there, changing columns before the start-finish line. So he only has a certain amount of time to serve it, and then the officials, well, the penalties will become much more draconian, Jeremy.
Yeah, they will. And odd that he's not served that penalty yet. Just set a new fastest lap of the race. Fractionally quicker than the previous lap, but Patrick Liddy hasn't extended much of a margin over Jake Walker, who remains right there with him in second place in the 47 Motorsports entry. So it's Forte Racing that leads 47 Motorsports in second position, and a big gap back now to the three cars that did pitted, fourth, fifth, third, fourth, and fifth, number 4, 30, and 88. Number 22 car was next in line, and that is it's Scott Huffaker in car number 22, local driver from San Francisco area, running in third position for World Speed Motorsports.
Sure, there's some stern messages being delivered to the 72 right now. And the reason is this. Liddy is out there. He's got clean racetrack in front of him. So he's not serving his penalty. He's out there running qualifying laps, extending the gap as far as he can before he has to serve that penalty. And the officials are going to say, you have three laps. You can't go by the line more than three times without serving it, or the penalties become more severe. So I get what they're trying to do. Eventually, they're going to have to serve it. You cannot serve a penalty on your pit stop either. Obviously, there would be no penalty with that. So Liddy out there doing all he can. He's going to start running into cars that had come out of pit lane, but we're going to see him on pit road twice, one for 87 seconds and the other for a simple drive-through.
Yeah, and that's got to be three times past start finish line. So maybe his radio isn't working. I don't know, because he needs to get himself onto pit lane.
Well, and I think a problem there. That was odd.
Was that Nick Grote? The car just lost it under. There's all sorts of changes of camber there at the top of the hill, going into the corkscrew. It looks like it caught him out there. I'm not sure exactly who that was.
Well, it was a strange spin back to the right, expecting to see the tail come around to the right, not the car move right. No contact with the car behind him. Yeah. Car just breaks loose, tail swings left, car goes right. It's not a typical incident that you see there in the braking zone of the corkscrew.
True that, and slightly odd there for that car. Yeah, big spin. You just got a bit of a tank slapper under braking, didn't he, and around that car window. Yeah. We're going to go back to full course caution. This is really going to play into the favour of those who have already made their pit stops, because as we heard, and a whole bunch of people came in on this lap, but a whole bunch who didn't, including the leader, who's still got two pit stops to make, one to serve his penalty, and then the second one for his mandatory stop. You can't kill two birds with one stone. So, but for those who have made a pit stop, the pits will now be closed because of the full course caution. And so the drivers now will not be able to make a pit stop until after the race goes back to green. So that could be very, very costly for them.
I believe it's the 64 that's off at the top of Corkscrew. Can't really see the number, but the color scheme and the Lamborghini Naples on the front of it tells me the 64. Luke Berkeley behind the wheel, the youngster, 19 years old. I wasn't driving a Lamborghini when I was 19, Jeremy. But to me, that was odd enough that I think there may have been some type of an issue with the car and not a driver error. Because, again, based upon the language of the car, when you come in there, you would expect it to spin in the opposite direction. Unless he's trying to move the car back to the right after kind of being there in the middle of the road. Just a very, very odd spin for the car to move in the direction that it moved.
Yeah, he just got a bit of a tank slapper on, I think, under braking there. I mean, locked up the rear brakes, perhaps. You're braking there as you're turning to the right in that kink before you turn left to go down the hill into the corkscrew proper. And the car is always upset there in any case. And I think the car got a bit sideways and then it kind of gripped. And as Richard Petty, I remember saying many, many years ago, just got a bit behind on his steering. The car went from one side to the other and then he'd finally lost it. It just happened to go to the right-hand side and spin off there into the gravel. So really unfortunate there. Unfortunately, that's going to be the end of his race.
The crew going to work. Let's take one more look at it. Up the hill. He is kind of moving the car back to the right, and then it comes around. I didn't see any tire smoke, which would tell me that the ABS was working properly. These cars do have an anti-lock braking system on them. They also have traction control, 9 different positions on the traction control. I think it's 5 or 6 different settings on the anti-lock braking system. But, perhaps he's just moving the car back to the right and gets that tank slapper, Jeremy. Just kind of an odd spin, like I said. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody go over there, although somebody obviously did because there's another set of marks almost in the same spot. So not that it doesn't happen.
It was Luke Berkeley who I think had just come out of the pits. He just made the pit stop had just been made, that car. I think who was it started, that number 64 car? I think it was... Yeah, it's Garrett Adams who started the car, and he just made the pit stop to hand over to Luke Berkeley. So he was still trying to get himself up to speed on his outlap, I think, after making that pit stop, and just kind of caught out Luke there. We saw him being very, very aggressive at Sebring last time out. We had a couple of moves there which were a little bit suspect, I thought. This time that aggression kind of caught him out there at the top of the corkscrew.
So Patrick Liddy. Patrick Liddy still up in front. Jeremy, I mean, think about the rules here. I'm not exactly sure how much time is left in the window when we go back to green. Yesterday, we saw them open the window as soon as the cars went by it, meaning it was going to be open for a minute and a half or so before the cars got back around to pit in, right? So I don't know how much time is left in the window to get in to do your pit stop. But for Patrick Liddy, he owes a drive-through. And then his pit stop. And to me, if they have to go in that order, does he have time to do that?
Yeah, good question. Good question. Because basically the rules, there's a sort of a special dispensation. If the caution is out and you can't make your pit stop, because the caution is out and the official pit window is closed, then there's a kind of dispensation. You can come in next time around soon to go back to green, and you can get away with it. But you may raise a really, really good point, because he has to serve his penalty from earlier on. So that's going to be a double whammy, I think, for Patrick Liddy. It's all going wrong for that Forte Racing driver at the moment. A great shame. He's a great guy. He's one of these guys who works super hard to create these opportunities for himself. He does a lot of coaching in a lot of different series. He's based in Los Angeles, actually right by the Hollywood Land sign, or what used to be Hollywood Land, but does a lot of coaching out of the thermal club in the Palm Springs area, but elsewhere as well. He's been a busy guy these last few weeks. He's been flying all over the country coaching different people in different series, and now he's showing what he can do behind the wheel, and clearly he is fast.
Clearly he is. Only one race in 2023, and that was at Vallelunga in the World Championships. But I mean, the problem too is this yellow has really hurt him. Obviously these races are relatively short, 50 minutes long, and this full course caution brought the field back to him. Remember I said he was staying out trying to build the gap as far as he could so that when he did serve his penalty, you know, he was farther out in front of the field, and so he wouldn't drop all the way to the back. Well, now this full course caution has stacked up the field. Even when we go back to green, if the officials allow him to serve the penalty first and then serve the pit stop on the next lap, everybody was right behind him when he came in. This is really, really going to hurt even more than it was going to before.
Yeah, true that. I mean, you know, he's going to finish last, bottom line. I don't think there's any way around that. With only there's less than 20 minutes to go in this race. So the pit stop officially has closed. So he's going to have to come in next time around, in the next two laps, and that will cost him a better part of two laps by the time he makes both of those stops. I think the top 12 cars have not yet served their mandatory pit stop. Three of those, however, have already been in the pits for one reason or another, number 66, 8, and 21. But I don't think those were their driver changes. The first of the cars that has made its mandatory driver change, I think, is the car number 40. And that would be Nico Jermin, who's running in 13th position in car number 4. And behind him on the road are the three more pro cars. Number 30 car, which is Bryson Morris, the youngster from Tennessee. Then Danny Formal, the two-time defending series champion, who made a lot of ground during this round of pit stops, mainly because three of the other contenders in pro didn't come into the pits. And then behind him is car number 29, which is Elias De La Torre, who's driving solo in this race, making his debut this weekend for TR3 Racing. And then it's two of the Pro-Am cars, number 41 and number 14, both driving for the Flying Lizard Motorsports team. Car number 41 is making its seasonal debut. Mark Miller is driving that car now, having taken over from Paul Nemshoff. And in next position is Andy Lee, who is yesterday's winner, taking over that car, number 14 car, from Slade Stewart.
It'll be interesting to see how this all cycles through, like you said, after the pit stops are made. Interesting note on the bottom of the timing screen right now, where you see the notes from race control come up. Incident involving car 64 impeding at pit exit under review. So I find that interesting. Obviously, it would have been on one of the stops, but I don't know how you impede on pit exit. Once you get past the speed limit sign, you can go, and it kind of becomes racetrack. You can't pass there, but I've never heard of impeding at pit exit before. We'll have to see. Maybe it happened. You know what I'm thinking, Jeremy? Maybe it's not really at pit exit. Maybe it's within the pit lane before the timing line. Perhaps they released from their box too soon and then slowed down in the fast lane so they weren't short on their mandatory pit stop time. That sounds more likely to me. Once you leave your pit box and move into the pit lane, into the fast lane, you must maintain the pit lane speed. You can't jump from your box early and then go park 10 miles an hour slower out in the fast lane to make sure that you didn't go too fast and be underneath that minimum pit stop time. So could be that that's what the 64 did, or what they're investigating the 64 for.
Yeah, you're right, Brian. They all have a dash readout that tells them how long they have remaining on their minimum time before they get to the pit lane exit. And if you leave your pit stall, they know, because they've done their homework during the race weekend, how long it takes to get from their pit stop, from their pit stall and the standing position to the pit exit line. They know how many seconds that takes. So let's say it's 15 seconds to get from your pit stall to the pit exit line, the clock on the dash gets to 15, you go, and you should get to that pit exit line right on cue. But if you leave your pit stall a couple of seconds early, you might have to slow down a bit. Maybe that's what's happened. But finally, back to green flag racing.
Back to green flag racing, and understand there's about 5.5 minutes left in the pit window now. So for Patrick Liddy, if there is any good news after what's kind of befallen him today, that might be the good news. He does have time to get this done. Meanwhile, a power move there by that bright red number one. Or was that Jerome Bleekemolen in the 54? I'd have to look and see. I thought it was the number one moving up at the start, Danny Fromall, but got too many red Lamborghinis in the field right now. It was about fourth in line as we came to the green.
Yeah, I think that was probably... Oh, there's the 30 car making a big bold move down there. That's Giano Torino. We saw him yesterday make a sensational restart.
Man, what a move by Torino, and now drops wheels at the exit of six. We saw all kinds of problems there. That's going to slow him down, stack up the field behind him. What's going to happen up at the corkscrew?
Are they going to get through, first of all? Whoa, a big tank slapper there for one of the contenders. This is...
Man, elbows out, Jeremy.
Absolutely. Patrick Liddy still not coming into the pits.
I don't understand that, and I'm wondering when the officials are going to have enough.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
.22 is in. No tires, no fuel goes on these Lamborghinis. When they do their stop, they'll check the lugs, that single lug, to make sure it's torqued the way it needs to. They may bleed down the tire pressures on these Hankook tires. You want to bleed them down a little bit because they build up on the racetrack. That gives the second driver or the continuing driver a little better handling car once they head back out. Still cars left to pit. And running out of time. Inside 13 minutes to go in the race. And closing down on the pit window. Not a lot of time left there either.
Yeah,
blocking on the way up. Man.
Yeah, I'm just looking again, Brian, at some of those cars that have made a pit stop. The number 66, 21, and 8. And also number 4. They came in... Number 4 came in a lot later, but some of those guys came in right before that second caution came out, and I wonder whether that might have played in their favour, because they were able to leave the pit lane while everybody else was slowing down for that second full course caution. Tricky one.
Tell you what, Jeremy, every moment on the racetrack is critical. Patrick Liddy staying out, and I don't even want to get involved, but look at this pit in. I think we'll see it in second, up at the top of the screen. Watch this. Perfectly legal. You've got to get down to the pit lane speed where the sign is, but not before that. And I couldn't see the car numbers there, but one car had slowed well before the marker, and the car coming up behind said, hey, this is racetrack out here, and if you're not going to go the speed, I'm going to do it, and makes the pass coming into the pits and gets in front of another car. Not sure if it was position or not. It may have been the 77 that went flashing by Jake Walker, but that was impressive. The closing speed there, pretty daunting.
It certainly was. That was a bold pass. Look, if somebody's sleeping on the pit entrance, go for it. Assume you can make that turn, because a very tight turn coming into the pit lane, inside turn 11, and all sorts of good racing going on back down the pack. But still Patrick Liddy, who's got a pretty handy lead, And AJ Musk now finds himself in second position. I think he might have served his drive through, excuse me, his mandatory pit stop and taken over from Joel Miller. Yes, indeed. So that number 66 car, when 72 finally comes into the pit lane, which is now with 20 laps in the books, and I'm not sure whether this is going to be his penalty or his mandatory stop.
I don't understand this. So there's the mandatory stop for Patrick Liddy. He has still not served his penalty, and he has most definitely been past start-finish multiple times.
Yeah, unless the penalty has been rescinded somehow. I can't imagine why, because it was looked pretty clear at the front. So I reckon it's now AJ Musk who leads this race. And the reason, as I said before, he made his pit stop. Ooh, there's a clash. Is that Ray Shahi there in that Bumblebee car? The
Believe
black and
so.
Yellow car? He had some various dramas yesterday. He started at the back today because he had a clutch problem yesterday. Had good pace, though, did Ray, making his debut this weekend. He's runs a collision care centre in Southern California, actually repairs a lot of these Lamborghinis. He's certified, one of only two or three collision centres in the country that's certified to repair broken Lamborghinis, so he's been kept fairly busy over the past few years. And he's shown good pace here this weekend.
One of the things that all of the drivers that I spoke to after race one yesterday, Jeremy, what they all said was, man, it was elbows out. That's exactly what we're seeing right now. A lot of pushing, shoving, side to side, bumping and rubbing. Typically in Lamborghini Super Trofeo, this is not what you see, but incredibly aggressive driving right now. And a lot of drivers almost appearing desperate to get the job done. The pit window is now closed.
Yeah, and everybody has now been onto the pit lane to serve their mandatory drive-through. And as I was saying, there's a whole bunch of cars that came in right before the caution came out. And because the caution did then come out, the cars out on a racetrack are supposed to and have to, under the regulations, when there's a yellow flag, you have to slow down. And because they had to slow down, they therefore were not at full speed by the time they got back to start finish line or the pit exit, where those other cars were just making their stop. They were able to rejoin the racetrack and lose a lot less time than they would have otherwise done. And that is why, that is why number 66 car leads the race, and also the pro and pass just ahead of number 21.
Big problem for the number 7. Not exactly sure what corner that is. That's the Ansa Motorsports entry.
Yeah, it's Alex Lima.
Alexander Lima behind the
car.
Wheel. Yep.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Turn six.
Oh!
Ooh, ouch. Okay, well, that's going to be full course caution.
High speed impact. Let's see. Yeah, that's another weird one, though. The car, I'm going to presume, Jeremy, gets a little loose and then hooks back violently to the right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really tricky there, no question about it. It's adverse camber there on that corner, really difficult to know exactly where to turn in, and then you got a bit of a sideways slide on coming out of the corner. There's a spin also for number 66. That was our race leader, wasn't it? Wasn't that AJ Musk?
Yep, around he goes. No contact with the wall.
Leader.
And then back underway.
Wow.
I've got news on the 72 of Patrick Liddy, checking with race control. We saw penalty on the timing board for the jump start. I was thinking it was a drive-through penalty, as were you, but just got the news from race control. It is a 10-second post-race penalty. So that is going to explain why he stayed out and tried to build the gap as large as he could, because he knew that he had a 10-second penalty coming. We didn't know that. We thought it was a drive-through penalty, but there's your answer for the 72.
Yeah, well done. And that was good information. And thank you for passing that along. But, because I could have sworn the race control message there said drive-through because there were two or three different penalties for this at the same time that showed up. Anyhow, that explains it. Well done. Good sleuthing there. And good to see Alex Lima out of that car. He's sharing a car this weekend for the first time with Andrew Cardenas, who's making his debut in the championship again this weekend for Anser Motorsports, representing the Broward dealership. And that's Alex. He did a couple of races last year, but it caught him out there on the braking for turn six and a heavy impact with the tyre baron. It's going to bring out the caution, but there's only 5 minutes to go in this race as well, so I fear we might be finishing under caution. The car got sideways midway through the corner. He tried to correct it, and then, as I said before, he kind of got behind on his steering. He kind of overcorrected, and the car then, the front tyres then grabbed and shot him to stage right and heavily into the tyre barriers.
Well, and you're going to, as a driver, when the rear steps out, you are going to steer into it. And then he gets to the compression, Jeremy, there in the middle of the corner, and the car really squeezes down onto the road. That gives those tires extra grip, and now Katie barred the door because the front tires are pointed driver's right, and that's exactly where the car went. Hats off to WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca and the improvements that they've made around this racetrack over the years, not just the new surface that's down, but all of the runoff areas, because that area that you're looking at where the safety workers are up against the tire wall, that wall used to be about where the number 7 Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo is sitting right now. It was that close.
Yeah, indeed.
And the results would have been very different. He's actually moved the wall. You can see there where the workers are. If you look on the back side of the chain link fencing, he moved the wall. Look at the fresh dirt that's packed up behind it. So this is going to be a lengthy repair to get that done. And you would think we would most certainly be ending under full course caution.
Yeah, and looks like it's a number 21 car that's one of those four cars that really benefited from the timing of that mid-race caution period. You can see that barrier move there as the impact. Great catch there by our camera operators. And, yeah, that was a heavy impact. But as you say, yeah, that corner in the past was really scary. And not only that, there was a big drop-off behind it as well. Don't know whether you ever looked over there in the old days. Yeah, you're basically on your way to Salinas.
Ask me how I know. Ask me how I know the wall was closer.
Yeah, you hit it, did you? Okay, yeah. It's scary. I mean, I remember driving. I drove an Atlantic car around here back in '88, I think it was. And this track was really scary. That was before they put the infield section in. So turn one and two, as it was then, or turn two and three, I guess, were incredibly fast left-handers with virtually no runoff, and they get to top of the midway up the hill there for turn what is now turn six, and that was a very, very scary corner indeed.
All right, look for the bright gold number 21. This is how they get to the lead. So the 66 is around, and then the 21 will flash by on the bottom. There goes AJ Musk. But here's the problem for Shihan Chandrasoma right now. He's going to go by. But I'm looking at the bottom of my timing screen, and it says car 21 penalty blocking drive-through. Drive-through penalties for blocking, the blocking must have been egregious. Normally, there'll be a warning that's given. They have the opportunity to do a time penalty, much like we saw them hand down for Patrick Liddy. So the idea, white flag is out, the idea that this is a drive-through penalty, it tells me that it must have been pretty egregious. So while the gold is up front right now, it's not going to stay there once the results are in. If this penalty is have to be served, they'll do a post-race drive-through equivalent time penalty. And with the field being under full course caution, it could put him literally dead last.
Yeah, how do you spell costly? What a shame there for Shihan Chandrasoma and Nico Riga. I mean, they played the strategy. It worked out perfectly for them. A bit of luck involved, certainly, with the time of that full course caution. But they were out front there, and they got gifted the lead when AJ Musk had that spin. But who was able to rejoin, by the way, in fourth position overall. So he'll probably now move up to third overall. Still a great result for Ian Joel Miller. But it looks like Shihan Chandrasoma is going to lose that win, and it'll hand the overall win to Nico Jamin and Kiko Porter, who will extend then their championship lead in the pro class.
Well, and Patrick Liddy has had that up and down day, right, Jeremy? And you go, okay, well, he recovered. He's second. Well, no, he's not. He's second in class right now, fifth on the road. But remember, there will be a 10-second time penalty applied to his race as well. And again, with the field under full course caution, 10 seconds is way back. It'll be a 30-second penalty, the drive-through equivalent for Sheehan Chandrasoma.
Yeah, and so costly for both of us. It's going to take a while to figure out all these results after the race, I must admit. But certainly in the pro class, no question that Nico Jamin and Kiko Porto are going to have their third win in four races, and also two pole position to go along with for Kiko Porto as well. So they'll have 57 points and a handy lead over everybody else in the class. I think Jake Walker in car number 77 for 47 Motorsports is going to be inheriting second position in the pro class ahead of Scott Huffaker. Good run by Scott there in that World Speed team, making his debut as a pro driver. The first round of the season, he shared that number 22 car with Courtney Crone, who's not here this weekend. So Scott looks like he's going to come over with a podium. Then it'll be in number 30 car behind him, which is Bryson Morris and Loris Cabarro in the, I guess that'll be fourth position. And then last year's champion, Danny Formal, along with Ryan Norman.
Interesting, as they come across the line, you see Sheehan Chandrasoma drop in the timing. I did not see Patrick Liddy drop, so that'll be interesting. But the victory, as you said, goes to Ansa Motorsports in the number four. And Nico Jamin, Kiko Porto, take another win that's going to help them in their championship. Nate Stacy, great run there in the final goings, trying to make up ground as he could with those short stints under green. He and Nick Persing take the victory there in the Pro-Am category. You go back to Am, Al Mori behind the wheel of the 28 at the checkered flag, and Michael Staub in the 48 in LB Cup. So good day for those teams, and just really an up-and-down kind of day for many of the drivers and all of the competitors, because you're having to react to that full course caution, here we go again, full course caution, here we go again. And it really sets you into attack mode, Jeremy, because when you see that caution coming back after only a couple of laps, you're thinking, I got to do it right now because it's going to happen again.
Yeah, it was certainly a dramatic race. Again, there were way too many incidents in there, but hats off to Michael Staub for taking that sweep for Precision Performance Motorsports in the LB Cup. And also, brilliant weekend for Alliance Racing. They only made their debut in this championship last time out, first race of the season at Sebring. Come away here with a sweep for Al Morey and Cole Kleck, who's driven the car for the first time here this weekend. They had a 1-2 in the class yesterday, and today the second car is back in sixth place in the class, but a really good result for them. But the overall winners, once again, Nico Jamin and Kiko Porto.
I think the thing that's important is unofficial results, because there may be some issues still to sort out. Looking through the second 10, Jeremy, some good results there as well. That's where you see the winner in the AM category. We were talking about Maury and Kleck, and then through the rest of the field, lots of pages of results here, because once again, 40 cars at the green. Michael Staub with the win in LB Cup. What a great weekend for him, right?
Yeah, absolutely tremendous weekend for him. Two wins in the class, and Nick Grote comes away with a second place finish and the pole position as well. Having a quick look at the points in the various classes, Nico Jamin and Kiko Porto, as I said, they will extend their lead in Pro. In the Pro-Am, I think a third position today unofficially for Slade Stewart and Andy Lee, yesterday's winners. They will have 43 points to the 44 of Jerome Blakemolla and Tim Pappas. So they will continue to lead. They have that advantage primarily by virtue of the fact they had the pole position this morning, which is earned, which is worth one championship point. In the AM class, the win for Al Mori, that'll move him up to 36 points, but Anthony McIntosh and Glenn McGee finish in second position, so they will continue to lead in the, or they will take the lead in the AM category in that WTR with Andretti entry over Ken Dobson, who had a sweep of the first weekend of the season, but unfortunately unable to start this weekend because of the problem in qualifying yesterday. And with the win also again there for Michael Staub, That should move him up to second place in the points behind John Hirschberg of Forte Racing, who finished today in the fourth position, but that should be enough to maintain the lead in the LB Cup category.
Well, it's absolutely gorgeous here off the Monterey Bay Peninsula, and this racetrack, absolutely beautiful, but it's got a dark side, and the competitors in Lamborghini Super Trofeo found that today. Lots of yellows, lots of elbows out, lots of action, and it started at the drop of the green flag. Iconic circuits for Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. We move next to Watkins Glen, New York, June 21st to 23rd. Make sure you join us. That'll be the third weekend of the season for Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. For Jeremy Shaw and all of my partners, we'll see you next time. Take care, everyone.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.